Well, this is the Sabbath before the national holiday of Thanksgiving, as Mr. Lopez mentioned. Appreciated those opening hymns as it tied right in with my topic today, which is about Thanksgiving, how to maintain a thankful attitude. Of course, in our nation, although we have this holiday, it's mostly associated with eating and football. You know, Erna Bombeck, some of you younger people probably don't remember her, but she was wrote columns and so forth, was on just life as a suburban housewife. But she said one time that it takes 18 hours to prepare Thanksgiving dinner, 12 minutes to consume it, and coincidentally, that ties in exactly with halftime. But so how many are really thankful? As a nation, we spend most of our time complaining, no matter what. Now people can publish their complaints for the whole world to read via the internet. Any of us can complain far and wide, and the people sure do. If you read down in, I go to the Tulsa World, and sometimes on the internet, and you go down below, all the comments. And on the World, you cannot comment anonymously. So even people have their names out there, and they still have lots of negative complaining about whatever the topic is. You know, the political world focuses on what is wrong from their perspective. So it's easy to take all of the blessings we have in this nation, to take them for granted. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:2 that one of the characteristics in the last days would be an ungrateful attitude. You know, we can pick up on all the ingratitude in the society around us. You know, we can be relatively happy in our job or other situations in life. But what happens when we get around someone who is in the same situation but unhappy? You know, we can be easily influenced. It seems like negativity can just suck positive attitudes away. You know, I know I start complaining if my electricity's out for a little while. You know, I really depend on that electricity, those lights coming on. I know it's out, but I still go flip the switch. Just can't wait till it comes back on. So today I'm going to look at thankfulness. What should it mean for a Christian, a worshiper of God? How important is it to have an attitude of thanksgiving? There's many scriptural references to thanksgiving. It's a big, covered over and over from beginning to end. One of the offerings that God gave to Israel was called a peace offering, or it's also called a thank offering. There were detailed instructions regarding that offering in Leviticus 3, and we won't have time to turn there. I'm going to shorten this split sermon so that Mr. Mann will have a little more time for his topic today. Leviticus 7:11-21, you may want to turn there. I'm just going to read a few excerpts out of that. Verse 11 says, Leviticus 7, verse 11, says, "This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil." On down to verse 15, "The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day as offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice, but on the next day the remainder of it may be eaten." So his peace offerings could take two purposes, and they had different procedures and different things involved with them. On down in verse 20 and 21, it talks about the person offering the peace offering was to be pure, to not be unclean in any way. website called BibleHistory.com. They had this write-up on the peace offerings, which I thought was summarized it very well. It says the peace offering was a meal that was shared with the Lord, the priest, and sometimes the common Israelites. The worshiper was to bring a male or female oxen, sheep, or a goat. The ritual was closely compared to the burnt offering, up to the point of the actual burning, where the animal's blood was poured around the edges of the altar. The fat and entrails were burned, and the remainder was eaten by the priest, and if it was a free will offering, by the worshipers themselves. So if they were just bringing it as a free will offering, the family ate it. This sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving was most of the time a voluntary act. The peace offerings included unleavened cakes. The priest ate all except the memorial portion of the cakes and certain parts of the animal on the same day the sacrifice was made. And when the worshiper joined in and the offering was free will, the worshiper could eat for 2 days of the whole animal except the breast and the right thigh, which were eaten by the priest. So you see, there's a lot of detailed instructions. Jacob and Laban offered a peace offering when they made their treaty in Genesis 31:43. It was required to make offerings while making a vow of one's life to God and thanking Him with praise, while free will offerings were voluntary. So that was a foundation for having an attitude of thanksgiving tied in with the offerings. You know, David and other writers of the Psalms, which most of our hymns are built around the Psalms, was thankful even in times of trial. Just one of the Psalms is Psalms 107. We won't necessarily need to turn there. I was just going to mention in verses 4 through 9, it talked about wandering in the wilderness. Verses 10 through 16, being in prison. 17 to 22, suffering for rebellion. And 23 to 32, to be lost in storm at sea. The chapter shows many things that man should be thankful for, even in times of trial. And we got a whole table full of cards back there, people that are going through health trials, severe trials. But David, in writing this psalm, in several verses scattered through here, he says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." And then he repeated that. That was in verse 1. Repeated it in verse 8, in verse 15, in verse 21. He said, always interspersing thanks, even going through those times of trial, and on into verse 31. In Psalms 116, if you want to turn there, Psalms 116, verse 3. Psalms 116, verse 3. You hear where David gave thanksgiving for deliverance from death. You know, he was so thankful that he was delivered. Psalms 116:3, "The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow." But on down in verse 17, "I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." You know, like I said, thanksgiving is scattered all through the Psalms. A man named Jeremy Taylor once said, "From David, learn to give thanks for everything. Every furrow in the book of Psalms is sown with seeds of thanksgiving." Matthew 26:27, Christ offered thanks to God when instituting the Passover. We won't turn there. He took the cup and gave thanks. And we read that every year at the Passover. Paul also was very thankful and taught in his letters to have a spirit of thanksgiving. Let's turn to Colossians 3:15-17. Just one of the examples. Colossians 3:15. "So do all things with thanks." In verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And you know, Paul wrote this and he really lived it. You know, one of the amazing examples in Acts 16. I'd like to turn there. Acts 16, verse 16 to 25. Acts 16, verse 16. Now it happened, as he went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us, that was Paul and Silas, and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." So here was someone who was demon-possessed that recognized Paul and Silas' source of power. And this she did for many days. Can you imagine being followed around for several days? But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailers to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. How would you feel if you were in that position? You know, would you be thankful? You know, I would probably be really down in the dumps if I had gone through that. But verse 25 is that great example. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So he really lived what he taught. Several years ago, I came across this sermon transcript. It's on the five levels of thankfulness. And every year I like to review these in the fall of the year to think about where am I in thankfulness. The first level is this negative, constantly complaining attitude. You know, Paul wrote about the Israelites in 1 Corinthians 10:10. I won't turn there. It says, "Nor murmur, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer." That was one of the great weaknesses of the Israelites after God brought them out of Egypt. You know, how long can you or I go without complaining about something? I hope I'm getting better, but you know, it's real easy to find what's wrong with things. Level two is still negative. This person doesn't complain much, but at the same time does not have an attitude of thanksgiving. Never thanks God for anything. Takes it all for granted. Let's turn to Luke 17, 11 through 19. It talks about the 10 lepers. Luke 17, verse 11. "Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them," just one out of the 10, "when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." He wasn't even an Israelite. "So Jesus answered and said, 'Were not Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. So again, we see that this ungratefulness has been with man all along, all down through history. The level 3 of thankfulness thanks God for the obvious physical and spiritual blessings, the good things. This is what we usually think about when we've been blessed. What physical blessings we've had, what doors may have been opened for us. And this is good to be thankful for those. But really it needs to go beyond that. Level 4 is to give thanks in every situation and circumstance. And this is where it gets tough. Just to quote 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For it's God's will for us to have thanksgiving. And one of my favorite verses, one that I realize I've still got a lot of growth that I need, and that's in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And that's really a solution to having a more positive attitude, to not focus on all of the negativity that's around us. So, test question, I say, is how thankful is your attitude when the power's out, when you lose your job, when you're sick? In this sermon transcript, he related the experience of Matthew Henry, who wrote the commentary. One real-life example of giving thanks in everything is actually in the life of Matthew Henry. In one point in Mr. Henry's life, he was robbed. You know, that's not a good experience. Obviously, that was a terrible thing, but he was able to find something to be thankful for, even that event. In that event, and he wrote it, this in his diary. He said, let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Secondly, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Thirdly, because although they took my all, it wasn't much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. You know, it's interesting that something as bad as that, being assaulted, accosted, and robbed, he was able and really very diligently applying the Scripture. It seems he took it seriously, the command to give thanks in everything. I think that's a very good example for us. In his trial, he found a way to apply that Scripture. And then the top level, level 5, is thanking God for who and what he is, which is the highest level of thanks. Habakkuk 3 talks about accepting all that happens as a gift from God, even if we don't understand why. And there's a lot of things. You try to sort it out in your mind. You can't really figure it all out. Let's turn to Habakkuk 3, verse 16. Habakkuk 3, verse 16 through 18. Habakkuk 3, 16. When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flocks may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. So all material blessings had gone away. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So in conclusion, we need gratitude, thankfulness year-round. We need to be thankful towards God and Jesus Christ and those people around us to have that thankful attitude. What level are you at? Do you regress on some days to level one, where all you do is complain about what's going on around you? Or do you get stuck at level three, just thankful for the obvious things? God expects thanksgiving to be an integral part of our character and attitudes in our relationship with Him and with others we may live with or work with. Challenge yourself to think daily about what God has done for you and praise God for who He is. Last verse, Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. I hope all of you have a very enjoyable Thanksgiving this next week. And keep these points in mind.